Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve faithfully." I'm in the room full of faithful people tonight. If you're in here on a Wednesday night with everything going on in your world and the world, you are part of the faithful, and we appreciate you being here tonight. Last session, we talked about that what the lion's den is made to do and what it's brought to you to do is to destroy you, but I believe that the lion's den doesn't have to destroy you, but it can define you. I believe that you can come through whatever the enemy has set in front of you, and when you come through it, you're going to find out that you are stronger than you thought you were. And I've been able to testify to people in this altar with tears running down their face the last 24 years of my life that you are stronger than you think you are. That when the enemy comes against you, and he will come against you, that you've got a God on the inside of you that is greater than the enemy that is coming at you. The lion's den moments of your life, church, they reveal who you really are. When you and I end up in the lion's den, we find out how strong our prayers really are. We find out if we're worshipers or warriors, if we're fake or if we're faith, if we're faithful or if we're fearful. It is important that we realize as believers what gets us into the lion's den is what's going to get us out. The faith that got Daniel into the lion's den would be the faith that gets Daniel out. We talked about the favor that got Joseph in is the favor that would get Joseph out of the pit. The faith and the worship that got the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace is the same thing that would bring them out. When God singles us out, God singles us out to everyone. A lot of us want to say, "God, pick me for the next blessing, for the next miracle, for the next breakthrough." But realize this, when God isolates you for favor, you are now isolated for attack. When God puts a target on your life for the favor of the Father, understand you are now targeted for an attack from the adversary. The same coat of many colors that Joseph wore on his back that announced to the world, "My Father loves me and I'm favored by the Father." It is literally the very same reason that his brother hated him and tried to kill him. So put to the most simplest of terms, if you don't want the attack, you can't handle the favor. But if you say, "God, I'll take the favor," understand that you can handle whatever attack comes your way. The anointing sometimes attracts attack. Thieves don't break into empty houses, and the enemy doesn't attack purposeless people. Verse 3 of chapter 1 of Daniel, the Bible says, "The king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men that they had taken captive. But he said, 'I want you to choose men from Judah's royal family.'" Remember that as Judah's royal family, Judah was the praising tribe. And so I want to encourage you that appraising people are always going to outlive the lion's den. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen generation." Can I remind you, you are chosen. From the beginning of time, you were chosen. And when you turn around and said, "I am the chosen, but I turn around and I choose God." When you announce to the adversary, "I realize that I'm chosen by God, but you must realize that I have chosen God," right back, realize this, that the enemy's going to come against you with everything that he has, but it will not work. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, you are royalty, a holy nation, a peculiar people, you're different than everybody else, you are set apart from everybody else, you are set apart, you are royal, you are holy, you are chosen to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but now are the people of God. Once you could not obtain mercy but now you have obtained mercy. What Daniel announces to us as the people of God is he said, "Where you are should not change who you are." He said, "I was a child of God when I was living free, but I'm still a child of God even though I'm in bondage in Babylon. I was a child of God outside of the lion's den, and I'll be a child of God inside the lion's den. I was a child of God when I was perfectly healthy, but the doctors have put this cancer report, and I'm still a child of God. I was a child of God when I was broke, but I'm still a child of God." King Nebuchadnezzar chose people from the house of Judah, the house of praise. He said, I want to give you some criteria to choose them. We already know that they were royalty out of the house of Judah, but he said, I want you to choose strong and healthy, good-looking, smart, intelligent, wise, suited to serve. And then the king, verse 5, assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years and they would enter the royal service. Realize this and remember going all the way back to verse 1 that when the king captured the nation of Israel and put all of them in captivity, the Bible says that he sent men to storm the temple and to take out sacred symbols and relics that were special to the Jewish people. And they took those relics back and they put them on the shelves with false gods and false religion and golden statues and golden idols. And he's doing this because he took the nation of Israel out of their land and now he's trying to take God out of the nation of Israel. Can I encourage you that you can't live at Living Way Church, but I can tell you this, that nobody can touch the God that is inside of you. That for them to get the God out of you, you have to walk away from him and give him up. And so when you leave this house tonight at 8:35, 8:40, realize this, you might have left the church building, but you carry the Spirit of God, that you carry deity within you. And the devil's gonna come against you with everything he can tomorrow at your job or when you get home tonight. But he knows this, and he hopes that you don't know this, that you can take the saint out of church, but there's a place that you can get to that you can't get the Holy Spirit out of the saint. And as long as you carry God with you, you cannot be defeated. Let's move into some new material. Daniel chapter 1 verse 6. So he's given the chief of staff directions to feed them a certain kind of food, and we'll get to that back in just a minute. But in verse 6, we are introduced to four of the young Hebrews out of the house of Judah. We're introduced to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These are the four of the young men that were chosen from the tribe of Judah. We all know Daniel, but for some of you that might not have read this story in its entirety, you might be wondering, who is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? You know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I think it's odd that we remember them for their slave names and their Babylonian names, but we don't remember the Jewish names. We don't remember their God-given names. We don't remember the names of their mothers that were great women of faith and women that looked to Zion and looked to Jehovah for help and for refuge and for guidance. These are the names that those dear Jewish mothers and Hebrew mothers felt like they had received from Jehovah God, and for the last 16, 18, 20 years had called Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah by these names. Daniel's mother had named him Daniel. And so I think it's important before we get to their slave names that we call them by their Hebrew names, because when I told you 2 weeks ago that it's amazing how much this story parallels 2024. I don't know if you know this or not, but there is legislation right now that is trying to get the God that we serve, not only out of schools, not only out of public places, but they're trying to erase the Bible out of libraries. They're trying to get church out of church. They're trying to regulate what we can say and what we cannot say, what we can read and what we cannot read. There are translations of your Bible that are now missing key verses. That's why it's important that you understand what you're reading. That's why it's important that you are always measuring it by the Word of God and making sure that they're not changing things here or literally leaving places void and taking scriptures out. Most of the time, this is how you can tell a scripture has been taken out, because for them to be able to trademark and sell it as the Bible, they have to leave footnotes in, or they have to leave crumbs saying what they've done. And so one of the crumbs they leave, especially in the NIV version, is you will see a verse and then you'll see a little letter in parentheses. And that little letter will be A, or that little letter will be B, especially online. And when you click that, you will see verses that have been omitted from the original text. This is something that they're doing now, but this is the same old trick that the devil was trying to do with Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Daniel in the Hebrew means this: God is my judge. Jehovah is my judge. Yahweh is my judge. It's important that Daniel, that we understand when we say the name Daniel, we are literally declaring that God governs his life. That he is led of God, he is taught of God, he follows God in all that he does. The next name is Hananiah. Hananiah means that Yahweh is gracious. that Yahweh has favored me with grace, that God has favored me with grace, that Yahweh is the gracious one. Mishael in Hebrew means, who is like the Lord? Who is like the mighty one? Who is like the strong Lord that I serve? And Azariah means that the one that is helped by God, or God is my helper. Now, the last thing the devil wants to do is call you by those names. The devil knows you by your name, but calls you by your sin. But I'm grateful that God knows me by my sin, but calls me by my name. God does not call you by what you were and what you did and your liability and your weakness. God calls you by what he created you to be. God calls you by what he sees you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, looking through the prism of Christ. That is why it is important that you realize you are not the old person. You are not who you used to be. It is hard for people to get past someone's ailment or affliction. That's why Thomas in the Word of God, we call him Doubting Thomas, and there is only one recorded time in all of history that he doubted, yet we call him Doubting Thomas. Aren't you glad that every mistake you've made, even if it was just one time, you were not called that? Come on, we could be called an adulterer, pornographer, cheater, liar, stealer, idolater, addict, druggie, crackhead. Thomas doubts one time, and those that are closest to him, we have now, because we heard it and read it one time, we now call him Doubting Thomas. Isn't it amazing that the harlot Rahab, the prostitute Rahab, who went on to do incredible things in the kingdom of God, fast forward thousands of years after she is literally used of God to bring deliverance to the people of God, when the man is penning Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, Rahab is still called a prostitute. She's made the Hall of Fame of faith, and they said, hey, you remember the prostitute Rahab? When we hear Bartimaeus, we call him Blind Bartimaeus. No, his name used to be Blind Bartimaeus. His name should now be I See Clearly Bartimaeus, Freed Bartimaeus, Healed by Bartimaeus, Vision Bartimaeus. And so the devil loves to call you not as God has called you to be, but he calls you by your past. He calls you by the mistakes you made. But I am here to tell you that is not what God sees when he looks at you. If you have said yes to Jesus, you are covered with the blood of Jesus, and you are not who you used to be. The chief of staff renamed these four young men and gave them Babylonian names. That's a nice way of saying it, gave them slave names. Daniel was named Belshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. And Azariah was called Abednego. Now let's talk about Daniel. Daniel means God is my judge in Hebrew. They changed his name to Belshazzar, which means protect the life of the king. Not the king, their king. Not king of all kings, little k king. So what is happening is they're trying to literally change the identity, but they said for us to change Daniel's identity, we have to change who his allegiance is to. We've got to change what he worships and who he worships. And can I just encourage you and help you on a Wednesday night? I know most of us aren't going home and worshiping golden idols, and we're not following false gods as it looks like in the Old Testament. We're not building golden calves and bowing down to them. But can I tell you that the enemy has robbed some of our focus, and we are worshiping things that we were never supposed to worship. We are giving time to things that don't deserve your time. We are focusing on things that are robbing us of focusing on the one thing that can literally help us. Change Daniel from God is my judge to Belshazzar, protect the life of the king. Hananiah, who is changed to Shadrach. Remember, Hananiah means Yahweh is gracious. God has favored me with his grace. And now they changed his name to Shadrach, which means command of Aku. Aku was the Babylonian moon god. He went from saying Yahweh is gracious and Yahweh is full of grace and gives me grace, then now worshiping the gods of the moon, little g. Mishael was Hebrew for who is like the Lord. He is the mighty and strong one. And they said, Mishael, your name now is Meshach. And Meshach means who is like Shaq. Babylon, not that Shaq, another Shaq. Who is like Shaq, a Babylonian Venus god? But this is where it really takes a turn. Meshach not only means the Babylonian Venus god, Shaq, it means a servant of sin. So they said, we don't want you to rest in the strength of the Lord. We want you to become a slave to sin. Remember, they've already entered physical slavery. So they're trying to rob them of their... Remember, these three boys are about to be thrown in a fiery furnace before Daniel's thrown into a lion's den. But I am here to tell you, don't fall for the enemy's trick. Don't let him change what you believe God has called you to be just because of your present circumstances. You are not what you're going through. You are what God has created and called you to be in Jesus' name. Azariah in Hebrew is helped by God. Azariah, they said, you're now Abednego, a slave of the god, little g, Nebo, Babylonian mythological god of science. What they have done is they have systematically said, we don't want to hear Jehovah. We don't want to hear about your God. We don't want to hear about his grace. We don't want to hear about his help. We don't want to hear about his strength. We don't want to hear about his righteous judgment. We want your focus now on these gods. Can I just encourage you today that when you leave this building, every other little god is going to show up on Netflix tonight. It's going to show up at your job tomorrow. It's going to show up in numbers in your bank account. It's going to show up through text messages on your phone. But you and I have to be strong enough to say, I'm not going to bow to these gods. Why? Because sooner or later, I'm going to be in a lion's den and I'm going to need the God to show up. And so I choose to worship the God that will be with me there when I need him. When Nebuchadnezzar changes the names of the four Hebrews, it wasn't just the changing of their names. He was trying to change their God. He was trying to switch their allegiance, and he was trying to switch their focus on what they worship. Hear me loud and clear. I said it last week, and I'll say it again this week. Where you are should not change who you are. I would not have you be hot, or I would not have you be lukewarm. I would rather you be hot or cold. I want you to be you wherever you are. If you're a straight up running heathen, that's who I want you to be in this church, so we know how to pray for you, minister to you, and help get you delivered. But I also need you, if you are a tongue talking, Bible believing, God fearing believer, I need you to be that way at your job. I need you to be that way at the corner store. I need you to be that way at the cookout and family reunion. Union this summer. I need you to be that way everywhere. Can I encourage you? We don't need Christians being Christians in church. We need Christians being Christians everywhere that God puts us. Don't let where you are, don't let what you're going through change your identity. If you're full of faith on the mountaintop, be full of faith in the valley. If you're a worshiper when the sun is shining, then be a worshiper in the middle of the storm. You have to make up your mind to make up your mind. I'm not going to allow my situation to change me, but I'm going into this situation and I'm going to change it. I'm not going to bow to my situation. My situation is going to bow to my God. I'm not going to go out like that. I've come too far and I've come into his presence, not so I can cower in fear, but so I can walk in faith. I've made up my mind to make up my mind. That's what Daniel did in verse 8, but Daniel was determined. You call me what you want to call me. I'm gonna call me Daniel. You can say what you want to say about me. I know I am fully aware of what I've done, but I'm also fully aware of what God has done, and what God has done has covered what I have done. I am fully aware. You think you can talk about my weaknesses? We've all got skeletons in the closet that if they really knew, they'd really go to town on Facebook and Yelp reviews and social media. Can I encourage you? I know all about me. There's nothing you can say about me that I haven't heard from the adversary every day, but I am confident in who God is and who God is in me. I'm confident that I'm no longer like that person, but I'm more like Jesus than I've ever been before. Daniel was determined. What was he determined not to do? He wasn't determined not to be a jerk. He wasn't determined not to lose his cool. He wasn't determined not to wig out. He was determined not to defile himself. This is important. He said, call me whatever you want to call me. Daniel's like, I'm writing this book, so I'm going to call me Daniel. You can call me Belshazzar all you want. I'm going to call me Daniel. This is what he said, though. Call me whatever you want, but he said, I'm going to draw the line on what goes into my body. See, this is the thing. In 2024, it's not, Jesus said it's not what goes in. Come on. It's what comes out. You can say whatever you want about me, but when you try to force what you believe into me, it changes things. He made up his mind, I will not defile myself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission to not eat these unacceptable foods. Check this out. As a regular part of the king's training program, the young men were fed from the king's table. The first time Daniel looked at the table, he knew he had to make a decision right then and there. The feast that had been prepared for them, including the food that was in front of them, was food that Jews were not supposed to eat. He is not putting his foot down because it's come from the king's table. He said, I have made a covenant and commitment to God that there are certain things that I'm not going to allow into my life because it's going to affect my relationship with God and my promise to God. And I've got news for you, Mr. Chief of Staff. What I followed back in my homeland that was blessed and governed by God, it doesn't matter if I'm enslaved in a godless community and a humanistic community and a humanistic culture, I will not change who I am just because you have a different set of rules. I'm going to be true to who God has called me to be, whether it's Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Friday night, whether it's a hospital courtroom, wherever, I am who God calls me to be. Some people might think Daniel was taking things too seriously. How many of you in the church tonight have ever heard someone tell you, you take this Jesus thing too serious? How many of you, and maybe it's people in your own family, tell you that you take church too serious, that you're at that church all the time? I can't believe you give 10% of your money. I remember somebody told me one time, I can't believe you give 10% of your money. I said, well, believe it, and actually it's about 20%. What do you think about that? I can't believe you go to church twice a week. Twice a week, I'm up here like 80, 90 hours a week. Every time they have an event, I'm there, I'm in the middle of it. Why? Because you can't take the things of God too serious. Just because you don't understand it, don't hate on me for walking out my convictions and what God is calling me to do. One of the things we learn from Daniel's stories is this, church, that the little tests of life prepare you for the big tests. How he deals with the food is literally setting him up for failure or success in the lion's den. In this moment, God is saying, can I trust you with the steak? Because if you eat that steak, you will become a steak to the lions. Come on now. Can I trust you by drinking some wine Can I trust you over here with what's on the king's table? And a lot of people, you can say, well, Daniel was in a place where he had to and he was forced to and he was forced to cave. You never have to cave on your convictions. Because the moment you start caving on your convictions, the enemy knows what he needs to do to get you out of the will of God. The little test of life prepare you for the big test. Daniel and how he handles this food decision would determine how Daniel handles the lion's den decision. Church, what little decisions are we overlooking or not taking serious that are going to change how we make the big decisions? Big decisions are coming in your life. Big moments are coming in your life. Lion's den moments are coming. Goliath moments are coming in our lives, and how we act in times of peace and how we treat the little things and no one would ever know and it's not really hurting anybody and those kind of phrases, they don't seem like a big deal on an idle Thursday afternoon, but what you don't realize is you are giving the adversary an inch and he's going to take a mile. And what you don't realize, in July you're going to be standing toe-to-toe with a lion. You're going to be standing toe-to-toe in a storm or in a fiery furnace, and we're going to need your faith to be at an all-time high. And so don't get wishy-washy in the little things. The little foxes spoil the vine. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 verse 10, whoever can be trusted in the very little can be trusted with much. Can I trust you with the food? before I trust you in the lion's den. If a person waits for a life and death decision to stand up for their faith, then they really don't have any faith. If a person waits for a life and death decision to stand up for their faith, then they really don't have any faith. In the last 24 years, church, I have heard some crazy questions. And one of the questions that I have heard a lot concerning the rapture is, Pastor, do you think that people can be saved after the rapture? Number one, I don't know. Now, I know the Bible talks about 144,000, and there is argument and debate on whether that is people that are Jewish, that are not Messianic Jews, that are going to come to Christ after the rapture because of the two prophets that come and speak and preach and call fire down from heaven. Some say that it'll be 144,000 that come. But this is how I always answer that question. I don't know. I do know this, though. If you can't live for Jesus now, what makes you think that you can live for him when you can't buy or sell, you can't go to the grocery store without the mark of the beast, that they're hunting you down? It's no longer attacking you on Facebook, but they're literally storming into houses and tearing or bringing out believers who refuse to have the mark of the beast. And I know people will say, yeah, but if I knew that heaven was on the line, I know I could do it. Heaven's on the line now. So can you be trusted in the little things? I really believe this, church, that how I respond in the lion's den, it is made up of small decisions and choices of faith that I made in times of peace when there wasn't a lion in front of me. I believe that the strength of what I'm doing with that sling and that stone, it's not in that moment. But remember, David was on the backside of the mountain and he was watching those sheep and he was getting really good with that sling and stone when nobody was watching. Can I encourage you to have faith when nobody's watching so that you can have faith when all eyes are on you? So Daniel said no. The two most powerful words in the English language, two letters, one word, no, it can change your life. The other word is three letters, one word, yes, it can change your life. Can I encourage you to pray and get God's guidance? Let the Holy Spirit bring discernment. But you and I need to get really good at those two words, yes and no. Saying yes to God at all times and no to the adversary. When people ask me to do something that is a little cloudy with my convictions or ask me to compromise, the answer will always be no. Why? Because I'm not living for right now. I'm living for eternity. I'm not living for June. I've got a July. I've got an August. I've got a big moment that's coming, and my no or yes today is building up my faith. Daniel never changed who he was. He never changed who he was, not just what he believed, but down to the micro level, what he allowed into his body. Believers in the room today, in closing, are you strong enough in your walk with Christ? Do you have enough of his spirit in you to not allow circumstances on the outside to get on the inside? See, I know, and I've done it purposely, I know that I live an insulated life because I don't have to work in places where there's a bunch of heathens. Listen, we have some people, not on the leadership side of staff, but we have some people that work on this campus that are not believers. And when I hear them cuss, I say, hey, not here. You're not going to talk like that here. And they're, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I'm like, don't apologize to me. This is holy ground. And so I realize that I'm not surrounded like you on your job, but I want to encourage you, God has put you in that job. God has placed you at the forefront. God has put you in situations where you're already surrounded by lions. And God is expecting you and I, no matter where we are, to never give in and change from the biggest of decisions to the most micro decisions. But I believe that you have enough faith, that we have enough faith. Verse 9 says, now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. The King James Version said, love and favor. Even in captivity, we are reminded in this moment in verse 9 that God is present with Daniel. because he's given him respect and affection with those that have rule over him. Verse 10, he responded, I'm afraid of the Lord, thy king, the king who has ordered that you eat food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded. And Daniel spoke up with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after him, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Please test us for 10 days. This is where we get that 10-day Daniel fast. Here it is. At the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. He said, let them eat this king's food. Me and these three boys will eat this king's food. At the end of 10 days, compare them to us and we'll see who's stronger. We'll see who has it. Then make your decision, he said. In essence, standing on your feet in the house tonight. In essence, Daniel said this, let me prove my God. And I love this. I wrote it down. I erased it. I wrote it down. I erased it. I typed it out. I erased it. I typed it out again. I erased it. And so I need to give you a little context because Daniel proved God outside of the lion's den. Daniel said, I can prove that we're stronger with our God than you are with your gods. After 10 days, he comes out, they come out, they're stronger. They're muscled up. They look like they've been working out. They look, there's a visible difference between Jehovah God's four young men and the men of the earthly king. Listen to what I'm gonna say, church. Daniel proved God out of the lion's den. And because he did that, God proved Daniel in the lion's den. That word prove means to establish the authenticity or validity of, to showcase the true character, the true ability of someone, especially through that person's actions. So Daniel proved the validity of God outside. Before he stepped into the adversity, he said, let me prove my God by drinking water, by eating vegetables. At the end of 10 days, you will see that my God is greater than your God. Fast forward 5 chapters, he's thrown in the lion's den. And in this lion's den, God now has the opportunity to prove Daniel's character, to prove Daniel's integrity, to prove the real, authentic, to authenticate and show the validity of Daniel, not through what he said, but through his actions. Church, we don't know the real you until you're in the lion's den. We don't know the real you until all hell breaks loose. We don't know the real you until you're under attack. And when I say under attack, I'm not talking about people being mean to us. I'm talking about being persecuted. I'm talking about the devil is after you to kill, steal, and destroy every good thing in your life. And so I want to remind people today that it is our time right now to prove our God. But in those moments, God is going to prove and authenticate who we really are. Someone asked me, and it's hard to believe it's been 4.5 years since COVID. But somebody asked me just a few months after everything opened back up, he said, what's the one thing that COVID taught you? I said, it didn't teach me much, but one thing that COVID did is it was the great revealer. It showed everybody's cards. It showed the people of faith. It showed the people of fear. It showed the sheep. It showed the goats. It showed the warriors. It showed the warriors. I don't know you until I see you in the lion's den. You don't know me until Goliath is calling me out by my name. But I'm here to tell you, I am proving God every day of my life. I'm proving God in every small decision. Pastor, do you do this? No, I don't do that. Well, why don't you do that? I don't do that because I don't want it affecting my walk with God, because I'm gonna need that God to show up in a big way. So in times of peace, I don't vacillate. I don't waffle between ideas. My convictions are the same on the mountain as they are in the valley. I want to encourage somebody today. It's time that we get strong. And it's time, like Daniel, that we determine that we will not defile ourselves. Daniel made that decision. He said, you can't defile me. Call me whatever you want. But he said, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to defile myself. We've got a few in this altar today, but I believe there's a few more in this room today that it's time that you make a step, because you've been having some thoughts about going a different way. You've been having some thoughts about throwing the towel in, but I want to encourage you, Daniel, don't do it. The same God that called you is going to be the same God that keeps you. The same God that is with you now will be with you then. The same God on the mountaintop is definitely in the valley. For those of you in this altar tonight, I want you to lift your hands. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to start talking to God. I want you to close your eyes because I want you to forget about everybody and everything. I want you to forget about the week you've had, the day you've had. I want you to forget about what you're going through back at home. And I want you to focus in on Jesus right now. I really believe this, folks. I don't believe that Daniel was thinking about the lions in the lion's den. I think Daniel was thinking about his God in the lion's den. And the devil would like for you to get your focus on what's wrong. But I've come tonight to do one thing, and that is to get your focus on Jesus. To get your focus off of the world and get your focus back into his word. I know that the enemy has called you Belshazzar and Shadrach, Meshach, but I'm here to tell you, God still calls you by your name, not your sin. God still calls you by your creative future and what he has destined you to be, not what you were and not what you used to be. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this altar. God, I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, when we have fallen short, your word lifts us up, God. In those moments where we don't want to continue, in those moments where it would be easy to make a lesser decision, when those moments it would be easier to backslide and go backwards, Lord, you have called us to a high place. You have called us to a holy place. And Lord, your strength today, your grace today, your guidance today, just like in Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, it is applicable to us in our lives today. Those in this altar, those watching online tonight, those back at their seats, I pray, God, that your spirit, I pray, God, that your glory, I pray, God, that your word, God, would become alive. I pray, God, that faith, God, would grow, that faith, God, would be fortified in this room and online today. In Jesus' name, I'm gonna ask our pastoral team to go ahead and start laying hands. Go ahead and start anointing. I'm gonna ask our prayer team to come in close. I'm gonna ask our men and women that help us pray every week to come in close. Get ready to lay hands. Get ready to speak life. Get ready to love and encourage. Get ready to embrace. Get ready for them to be able to hear somebody that understands what it's like to be in the lion's den but live to tell the tale.